Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. We have some callers in the queue. We're going to be getting to just a moment. Caller number is 914-338-0164. Press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And we would love it if you joined us on Facebook and Twitter. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Okay, so two callers currently. And the first is from area code 786. The next is from 803. So just hang tight, 803. You're on the air, 786.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
She's like not aware that we're... The reason you can't hear is because she's not talking to us.
Can you hear me?
Having a
can you hear me?
We can hear you now. She dropped.
She said, thank you for taking my call.
I didn't hear it. Yeah. I think she's on speaker. So we're going to take 803 now, and hopefully this caller will call back.
Hey, how are you doing?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, this is Chris.
Okay, Chris.
I'm calling to ask about my life.
Yeah, we just talked to you, right? From South Carolina, 12/24/1976.
Right.
Okay, 24/1976.
Yeah, I'm not calling asking about money today.
You're asking about money today, okay? And 786
is not. I'm asking about my love life.
You're asked about your love life. Okay, hold on just a sec, though. 786 is back in the queue, so just be ready, 786, after we're done with this caller. We'll get to you and make sure that we can hear you on your phone. Okay. Yeah, I thought you said love life. And then, so, okay, love life, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 19. You just had a breakup, right?
Yeah.
And that's still a breakup? 2, 5.
Oh, yeah, that's gone. It's like,
and we thought
interest now. I have a new interest.
Okay. Do you have her birthday?
I don't.
You got to speak right into the phone, too, because it's cutting in and out. We've got her volume up, so.
Okay. Hold on.
If you're on a headset, that's probably not going to work.
All right. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, much better. Okay. So you have a new love interest. What's her birthday?
I don't know. A bunch of love interests. I got on some new sites, and I'm talking to them. So I was asking, do you see anybody coming soon? Is this new one going to work out, or more coming?
Well, Chris, there's a couple of things I would suggest you do, since this is an online interaction right now. It's not in person. Discuss deep matters with this person and artistic matters. Let her get to know your soul. You know, what happens is sometimes Chris and I were discussing this, and it's in our book of numerology, how we are attracted to one another. In many respects, it's about, you know, physicality. We're organically geared to like what we see or be attracted to what we see. But then there's the attitude that we can't dismiss the idea that people fall in love with people's souls, their minds, and it doesn't have anything to do with looks. So since you're way over on one side, she's on the other in terms of internet connection, you got to get to know her. Your journey about romance is forthcoming. You have romance in your life coming. Is it this one? I don't know. You have to experiment. You're going to have to be in a relationship. That's what I'm picking up.
You know what you should do, Chris, is when you call the show, have birth dates handy. I know it's sometimes awkward to ask, especially if it's a new relationship. Maybe women don't want to give out their birth dates.
It's like, what's your sign?
But there's a way to maybe kind of sneak it in there in a way that's not too obvious and doesn't make it, look cheesy, sound cheesy. But it's helpful to get birth dates.
Are you completely housebound, Chris? You're not.
No. Say that again.
You're not completely housebound. You can get around, right?
No, I have a car.
Yeah, he has a leg issue, but it's not completely disabling where he can't,
Isn't one leg short?
I'm on disability, but I have a car. I go out every day. I take care of my mother now.
Right, and you do poetry. Do you do spoken word or something like that? Poetry?
Yeah. Some venues in my town.
So you have an active life. It's not like he's stuck in the house.
Well, his karma right now is being single and taking care of his mother and cultivating his mind. You have a disability because that's karma. That was your karma. But your transcendent side is to be active in mind, be amusing, be entertaining, be controversial, and that is part of your journey that I think leads you to your romance. The physicality will come in, of course, but I think that probably what the read is about is that you might find your soulmate through the mind, the soul, the passion.
Regarding this particular love interest, what are her interests? Is she on the same wavelength? In terms of is she a creative person or is she completely outside of that realm and more into?
She's like a mystery woman.
A mystery woman. What do you mean by that?
She's real mysterious.
So she's not giving you a lot of information about who she is.
Be careful.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Chris, you're smart. Just be careful about her asking for money.
Right. I don't give out money. I get money. So.
Yeah, don't give out any money or don't give her any personal information. I'm not sure, mystery woman.
Do you have an idea of what she does for work or she's not revealing that? Does she have children, past relationships?
Law enforcement.
She's in law enforcement. See, I thought that she wasn't in like
an
artistic
thing. And she went on a dating
thing.
App? She went on a, how did you find her?
Yeah.
Law enforcement. Well, I mean, that sounds a little safer since she's in law enforcement. Is she actually a police officer?
She's real secretive. We just started talking a few days ago.
Well, I mean,
okay.
It's, new. So
just be careful. This isn't part of being psychic, but just be careful. If she's hunting for people who are prowling on people or people who are deviants or something like that,
yeah.
Just be careful there that she... that you get to know her more. If she's a law officer and she goes online to try to find a date, that's a little bit odd. That's not totally in character.
Yeah, I agree.
And so it may be, but it's not totally in character. Now she's being mysterious. So you got to get to know her motives. And the best thing we can tell you, Chris, just to be careful, to answer your question about romance, you have romance coming, but you also obviously have a lot of karma you're dealing with. So you don't want the karma to get too disturbing and override what would otherwise be, positive and great. So just get to know her more, but you do have romance coming in your life.
He just dropped. It's so weird. So I guess we're moving on to 786. I don't know if he disconnected on accident, but if he's still listening, I just want to say he should diversify, you know, diversify his options for romance. So not just focus on one person online. I remember on our last show, he revealed that the reason his last relationship broke up was because of him flirting with other women and his girlfriend didn't like it. And so, you know, being obviously right now, not getting into a committed relationship if that's what he's not ready for, and being clear about that with his potential, yeah, potential love prospects. Okay. So I don't know why he hung up. Maybe he didn't like what you're saying. Who knows? 786. Hi again.
Hi.
Yes, okay. Now we can hear you.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay,
yes.
Hi.
So, my name is Luz, and I just wanted any feedback on relationships.
Oh, Luz. What's your birthday again?
April 7th, 1978.
78, okay. 11. Do you have any updates just real quick about your custody situation? Because I know that was the last question.
Yes, so that was, thank goodness that the school was on my side, and she doesn't have to go physically to classes now.
That's what we said,
so that
right?
was great.
That's
yeah,
what
we said. So I didn't have to go to court for that. So that was great.
That's great.
And saving
that's
me money.
So that's, yeah, saved me money, and that's what we said was going to happen, so that's good. I mean, ultimately, so we said if you went to court, the courts would side with you, but she doesn't, so her daughter has asthma, and
yes,
and the father wanted to put her in prison school.
Yes, so that calmed down, and I, you know, that seemed to have taken care of that nicely without having to go in front of the judge, so that
and
was
you're
great.
You're still divided custody as
decided
in Florida.
Yes, 50-50, unfortunately.
So out of curiosity,
do they ever,
I mean, I know that's the standard, but obviously in certain situations you can't have joint custody, like if there's an abusive parent, for instance. Are there cases where they split
yes.
custody with an arrangement?
Right, yes, but he wants 50. And, you know, unless you have done something completely egregious, there is no reason to give you more or give less to the other party.
Okay. So anyway, today you're asking about love, so we're getting on that topic now.
I have met someone, and it was going well, and I don't know what's happening. So.
Oh, okay. 19th, I'm sorry, I'm trying to figure out. You're going to be 43 years old, which is...
Oh, and his date of birth, if you need it, it's February 8th, 76, February 8th,
1976. I'm 20. He's a 33-6 to your 9. So you become... Well, anything you add to the number 9 becomes... that number. So 9 and 6 is 15, and you add 5 together is 6. So it becomes his master number. He's got a 10 on his month and day. You've got an 11. So the relationship, and your years are interchangeable. Year 7 to his 6 becomes his year. 7 to your 8 becomes your year. But you've got some problems in relationship because of that 11 factor going on. And he's got that 10 with a 0. So you guys, those 11s, you have 11s when you add up the month and day together. You've got 11s with this guy. So there can be some problems in relationship. So you say it fizzled out. It was going well and it fizzled out. How did you meet this guy online?
Yes. And then we went out, you know, for January, and then it just dissipated, and I have no idea why.
And so was it on a fairly casual basis, or was there intimacy?
Oh, yes, we got to that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You did get to that point, and then it fizzled out thereafter?
And then we continue afterwards.
You continued afterwards?
And then, Right.
But then,
and
it's
then it just, right, like, yeah, like, zero communication. So I don't know what's the factor.
Well, you know, it's unfortunate that not every man is like this, but a lot of men, you know, they work their way and do their thing so they can get, have sex, and then they have their fill and then they move on. It's not every man does that, and it has nothing to do with the woman. It has to do with the man's dynamic. You know, not every man is like that. But what happens is that, you know, you are a very heartfelt person. And when you fall, you probably fall deeply, and you're very devoted, and you consider being exclusive. A lot of men know how to play that note, but they're ruled by their zipper, not their brain. And so they know how to talk that talk, and they probably have parts of speech that are authentic, but they're ruled by lower desires. So probably since this guy barked away and it got faded, this might be a situation where sex commanded over passion and heart.
Yeah, and he's got a 2 in his month, which is, you know, second chakra energy, probably. Is he strong sexual energy, Luz?
Yes.
I know. They're also interchangeable. The karmic numbers line up too. So if you're 3 to his 3, and the karmic number is his karmic number, your 3 to his 6 is your karmic number 36. But when you put an X between them, they also do the same thing. So there's a, you know, karmic connection.
You know what the troublesome thing is about karma? Is we come to the planet and we have to meet people we've known before. We have to meet them. Some are by fate that we'll be with them forever. Others are that the fate is that we just meet and do what we do and then we part. A lot of it's also depends on a person's maturity level when they come back to the planet.
Yeah.
This guy was past life. So you're meeting past life people. I think since you're past the age of 36.
She's going to be 43. So she's...
Yeah. You're going to be 43. So since you're past the age of 36, the best thing we can do for you, Luz, is to put out an energy dialogue that the next person you meet, and I don't think it's this guy because why back away, but the next person you meet will be your heart passion and connect to you thoroughly. Listen, we know about a person from past readings that we said was going to get married, and she got married. And it was a long journey, but she got married, you know, from the radio. So the idea that this is, you know, you're entitled to a relationship. I would say that if there's anything you can do in a kind of weird, wacky way to help bring this guy in, and this gets into more folk wisdom, you know, the way readers used to do in the old days. Do you have a garden? Is there any kind of garden around you?
I have a patio.
Yeah. What I want you to do is I want you to go to that garden, and I want you to part the flowers a little bit and just touch the soil. That's all I want you to do.
Okay.
You might think, you know, it's folk wisdom. Sometimes folk wisdom makes sense. It's weird, but it, you know, you throw a couple sticks on the ground and your He-Man comes. But I want you to do that because I know it's winter, but are there any flowering plants right now in your garden?
Actually, it's flowering in my daughter's room. That we planted in November is flowering right now.
Okay, that's it. That's where you got to go. And your daughter connects to a man, and that connects to a relationship that was past, but a relationship which connects to you producing a child from that relationship. So the theme of the flowers goes to your daughter, which is attached to a man, which is attached to a relationship, which is attached to some kind of result from that relationship.
So, which means that that romance is forthcoming because you've got a flowering plant in your daughter's bedroom.
How old is your daughter?
She's five and a half.
Okay, so here's the thing, Luz. You're not going to find the right man until that man comes in that takes care of your
daughter
and loves your daughter.
And
that's why.
That's what, and I was going to say that too, because, you know, it's, she's so young and having another male influence in her life, you've got to be very careful with the partners that you choose.
Yes.
Yes.
You were going to say something, Luz? Sorry.
No, I completely agree with you guys. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's any other way to meet men for you besides online. You know, what we should do is put out energy that something will come in for her organically rather than having to go online, because
well,
a lot of times, you know.
Here's my theory, though. If the flowers are in her daughter's room and she parts the flowers, that's a very symbolic gesture, if you will. If you part the flowers and put your hand on the base of where the flowers are rooted, what that means is that you're touching the first chakra, the ground level chakra of bringing a man in who will understand and love your daughter as much as you do or close to it. So there's some kind of symbolic, like in a movie, you know, you're watching a movie and the screenwriter makes it very symbolic. There's something symbolic about those flowers in your gardens, in your daughter's room, that you touch that connects to the man coming from the earth. Why do you have a garden in your daughter's bedroom? Why are there flowers there?
Oh, her online teacher, during her birthday in August, sent her a little birthday package that contained seeds for a plant. And so I wanted to show her the growth of a plant. So we planted them in November, and now they're finally blooming.
Well, that's really deep storyline. That's really deep and symbolic, and that's good.
What's your daughter's birthday?
August 8, 2015.
15 or 16. She's a 23. 5, right?
24.
What, is it 16? 17, 18, 19. Yeah, 24. Sorry. 24, 6.
Same as this,
the guy. Yeah. Except different karmic number.
Yeah. Their days are interchangeable. Their days are aligned.
The guy. Yeah. So she, it's a past life.
You're, you know, the guy, this guy is, you're on the right highway. I just don't know if he's the one that, where the stop is. But you're right. You're in the path of finding the right guy.
Did he just stop responding to you? I mean, is that how, what happened? Or?
I sent an email where I was just asking him for us to maintain more communication because he had his daughter that weekend, and I just wanted more communication. And I just sent the last text message about that, if we can make an effort to maintain more communication. And then he just stopped replying.
Oh, God. Well, I guess that's your answer.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know,
move on.
Forget it.
He's on the highway of the men that you're supposed to find. You just haven't moved through the candidates yet to find the guy.
Okay.
But the guy that you find will not run away from you or your daughter. In fact, he'll love your daughter in the way he can, and that will feel good. The online teacher giving a present of seeds to your daughter is very symbolic, and it's very somewhat, you know, seed. It's very sexual in the concept of creation and letting the flowers grow. So there's something very significant about the way we picked up on that.
Well, you picked up on that.
We both picked up on it. And so what you got to do is just say, when you put your hands there, just say to yourself, send the man that loves me and my daughter, the right soulmate, and he'll come. That's what I think.
Okay. I'll do that today.
Okay, and don't forget to follow us, Luz. I think she keeps forgetting.
I did.
You did?
I did.
Send an email to us, because we don't know who, then we get followers and we don't know who you are. So if you would shoot us an email so we know where to find your profile and we can look at your pictures and help maybe move this process along for you meeting a man too. So email us on Facebook.
Okay.
We appreciate you following. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you.
So he scared Chris away?
I don't know what happened. He does that.
His drops?
Sometimes, I think so. Yeah, he's done it before. So, you know, it's hard getting back into the dating field after, you know, a divorce.
Yeah. You know, there's something to be said about folk wisdom. I think it's kind of fun.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do some kind of
dialogue about that
when you said folk wisdom. I thought, okay, you're going to tell us to do something.
I'm old enough to have researched a lot of different things, and especially in deciding to be a psychic, you know, when I was 17. So part of that was folk magic. Folklore, folk wisdom.
Right. And so applying it, I mean, you have to have kind of a psychic mind to really be able to appropriately apply it. You know, I mean, it's akin to witchcraft in a way.
Somewhat,
I mean, there's a link. I mean, it's not witchcraft.
It's folk
but there's,
medicine.
It's related to witchcraft, I mean, which is about earth.
You know, I was, when I was a kid, I had the opportunity of going to be on my own a lot, and I would, more or less, I ran away for days and joined a organ grinder monkey in an amusement park, and I was gone for a couple of days. But in my, as a boy, I would get on my bike and travel around the neighborhood, and I did come across this old lady in a house who invited me in, and she was a folk wisdom kind of woman. She was involved in all kinds of folk medicine and, you know, doing weird things with objects. And she had an answer for everything in terms of, she was very educated in that respect. And I was drawn to her. So I would get on my
bike. There a romance?
There was, it was like Harold and Maude. except I was like seven. So it was really weird. But I was drawn to her, and I would go and ride my bike and knock on her door. And she was always up to something with plants or seeds. And she taught me a lot, or I experienced a lot. We had a lot of fun, and I experienced a lot of information from her. And then from there, I jumped into studying it on my own. And there is a sort of a magical sense of authenticity in folk medicine, folk knowledge, folk magic. There's a sense of that. For years, I studied runes, and I would throw them and do readings. Then I realized that. I could do it with just rocks or sticks. And you throw them down and you see a map, and you apply that map to a language and you start to read a person's life. Now, when you're throwing these things down, what's happening is that the objects are connecting to the palm of your hand. And in the palm of your hand is a chakra. And in that chakra, that chakra combines with the elements in your hand, the objects in your hand, and performs a reading when you direct it towards a person wanting a reading. So you don't do your own reading. You're doing somebody else's. So,
I used to use the I Ching, which is, you know, star.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Obsessively asked questions. I mean, you really have to know what you're doing, though, in order to interpret what the runes or the I Ching is telling you. I mean, you can refer to a book sometimes, but you get a generalized answer with that. So you've got to have more insight into reading energy than just a book, I think.
Yeah. I mean, even the Bible talks about the gift of interpretation. So you interpret that you have this gift of interpretation, and it's also interpreter of tongues, which is a whole nother matter. But what to get to a place where you can interpret the formation or the, if you will, the disarray of any given sort of objects. You know, it was fun. What's fun, and they don't do it anymore, is playing jacks.
I did that.
And
I
you pick up the different
big
objects.
Big into jacks as a kid.
You know,
I
it's,
that a lot.
It's mind over matter.
It's unfortunate, I think, that people have moved towards, you know, there's so much technology that kids don't do those simple activities as much anymore.
I mean, they push a button, they look at a screen. Jacks is the objective of jacks is to bounce the ball and scoop up many objects that you tossed on the ground. And they're different objects. The objects were always amusing. Different things. They weren't always uniform. And you bounce this ball, and it was physics. By the time the ball had its height, you're supposed to scoop up the objects and then also catch the ball. So there's some bit of juggling in it. And there's a bit of maneuvering and balance.
It helps to have larger hands for that.
It helps to have
larger hands. Very small hands.
You know, I have small hands.
You have small hands.
I have small, really
for a man,
small
but I mean, mine are much smaller than yours. I have very small hands.
And I remember I was about 24 or 25, and this guy who owned this dairy company. He was in Dairy Gold. It was called Dairy Gold.
They're still around, I think.
Yeah, Dairy Gold. He owned the company. Well, I had the encounter of meeting him. And he wanted me, at that time, I was doing all kinds of manual labor and work and trying to write books and stuff. But anyways, he wanted me, for some reason, he was interested. I don't know why, but he had an interest in me. He wanted me to come to his house. No. He wanted me to come to his house and do work around his house.
Why would anyone want you to do work around the house?
No idea. I mean, I came with scotch tape.
Yeah, exactly. You want Neil to fix something, it's like a tape job.
Yes, a tape job.
Scotch
I have one of those belts. I don't have hammers. Scotch I just have different forms of scotch tape in my belt.
Various types of tape.
So he was having me do something, and I was, the last thing I'm good at is being a handyman or doing yard work.
Yeah, I think
I'm horrible.
Well, you know, I mean, you can
pick up the leaves. But there was something so odd about that guy, because I said, you know, I don't have the hands for this. I don't have manual hands. He said, what do you mean? I go, my hands are too small. He said, let me see your hands. So I showed him my hands, and he goes, do you think I'm pretty handy? Do you think I'm pretty manual? I go, oh, God, yeah, you are. He goes, look at my hands. We put our hands together. They were the same size. And he said, it's not size. It's how you maneuver your hands. So I always thought, oh, that's kind of odd. I never thought of it that way. You know, the manual energy, the physical dexterity, the how you work with your hands, even if they're small. So I started to concentrate on that. And it actually prompted me to think about my hands. So then, years later, like if I shook somebody's hand, they would cringe in pain because I had strengthened my hands so tightly.
Yeah, I have a strong grip myself from years of using my hands.
Yeah. So when we get back to the object of jacks, I didn't play them outside. I would have been made fun of.
Really? I played them outside, but you're as a girl. I'm a
guy
girl.
To play jacks. That was a girl.
Yeah.
But I would play it. I don't know why. You know, jacks, you know, jacks is a funny word. You have cracker jacks. With a toy inside, I used to get those toys and use them to play jacks.
What I was going to say, though, is unfortunately your relationship with him did not help really improve your handyman skills. So it might have strengthened your grip.
No, it didn't.
No.
He had a lot of, you know, he would come out and watch me work. And I don't know, maybe that's why he hired me. He would laugh so hard at the way that I would work.
Oh, is this the one where you were hitting the stone?
No.
Oh, that's
a
different guy.
That was somebody wanted me to
I remember.
Break some rocks up.
That was the candy guy.
And he wanted me to break some rocks up. And so I went out. I said, oh, I can do that. And I went outside and I was pounding away. And I thought, this guy's a jerk. If he thinks I'm going to pound on this rock. So I went out and I said to him, listen, I'm no fool. I'm not going to pound your rocks for you and break them up. He goes, what are you talking about? He goes, I'm not a fool. I'm not doing this job. You can't get this over on me. He goes, well, show me what you're doing. So he went outside, and I started pounding away on this rock. And he starts laughing so hard. And he says, I said, what are you laughing at? This isn't fun. He goes, Neil, you're pounding away on the foundation of the building. I don't mean that. He goes, what are you doing? So, you know, handyman, no. But
you've offered neighbors help, and they've been like, no, we don't need any help.
Yeah, there was
your
a guy
reputation
on a ladder
precedes
once,
you.
And he told me to just move the ladder slightly, and I folded it and fell down. I mean, I'm not good at handiwork. And get me to go on a ladder or on a roof?
Dangerous.
Oh, my God, no.
Well, I'm really same. I mean, I think that I might be a little bit better at handiwork than you, surprisingly. And I'm not good at it, though. It's not my strength. But I'm so, I'm a very clumsy person. So me on a ladder or a roof, danger.
Yeah.
I'm very clumsy.
Yeah, we both are kind of not good at that. We're not acrobats. But I wouldn't, you know, on a ladder, going up, climb up the ladder, or you going up on, would you climb up on the roof?
I would climb up on the roof, but I would climb up on the roof. Yeah, I would do it. I would, but you wouldn't allow me to, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, why bother? I mean, why suffer?
Because probably I would fall off. I mean, unless
it's
very careful, but. Yeah,
well, we're
getting
this idea
of
Jack. You know, Jack.
Be nimble, Jack. Be quick.
Yeah, I was just saying that. That's a straight. You know, Jack is a weird word because it you know, jackhammer. How Jack? It became from Jacques,
which is French,
which has it's a romantic word. So it's from the Romance language. And so, you know, one of the most graceful names in our visible history, Jacques Cousteau, you know, it sounds like the breaking of a wave.
You know, it's really interesting, though. Do you know what the origin of Jacques is?
Yeah.
No.
What? Yeah.
Hebrew.
Yeah.
Hebrew. I mean, which is not a Romance language. Romance languages. I mean, French. Italian.
No, Hebrew
Spanish,
is a guttural
English
language.
Comes from Latin.
You got to learn how to gargle when you speak Hebrew.
Well,
but
I think you have to have a softer touch with the consonants than you're doing with Hebrew.
Well, what does it say it means?
Well, it ultimately originates from Latin, which is Romance language. Jacobus, which belongs to an unknown progenitor. Jacobus comes from the Hebrew name Yahav. So you have to have a softer, not that much, which translates as one who follows or to follow after. I mean, there's some similarity with Hebrew and German as far as certain the consonants
but
go.
When it comes to, but the French interpretation of Jacques.
Right. Saint Jacques was a French knight returning from the Crusades in the Holy Lands.
Yeah. I remember.
Or James the Greater. He was one of Jesus' 12 apostles and first martyred apostle. So we're getting into the whole Christianity.
Because I remember, you know, Neil means champion. And I remember Jacques, the hero coming home, the French version. But there's, you know, the hero coming home from battle is more romantic than the hero going into battle. So when you come back, what makes the attitude of the hero coming back romantic is that in the old days, they used to throw flowers and you know, to celebrate the return of the soldier. So they, you know, it became...
Remember, we're back on the flower subject. Interesting.
The flower subject, yeah. And I was thinking of flowers for Algernon.
A book.
Yeah. And you never promised me a rose,
rose garden.
There's many things about flowers. But the idea that when we get back to the idea of the physics of playing jacks, now we have to maneuver two things at once. You know, there was a story about Einstein. He used to like to go sailing, but he would totally petrify anyone in the sailboat with him. Because what he would do is he would sail the boat, and he was so aware of physics and spatial energy and things that he would literally get as close as he could to any oncoming boat. And in the slightest second, he would maneuver the sail so that the boat would be a quarter of an inch away from contact with the other boat. And he knew how to do it. And that's the story about Einstein in terms of, he was a very humorous guy, but the idea that when you, when you're, and cats do it too, it's fascinating the way you watch a cat maneuvering a leap. They know exactly, they look at it.
Right, they're able
exactly
to measure
how to
the distance.
And what the leap is, how far back they have to lean, the force of their release. I mean, it's all very calculated, the way that they do it. Because, you know, I mean, canines, dogs will leap too, and they leap on the ground to scurry up animals and things like that. But cats are predators. They usually are sedate, and then they wait, and then they calculate a leap, and they
or an
do
attack.
It, or an attack, and they do it watching the prey's movements. And then if you watch a lion stalking, the way that it takes a couple of steps, you know, paw steps forward and then stops and goes forward. It's a whole dance. It's like a tango. But when we get into the idea of how do we calculate space, time, and exertion, space, time, and exertion. How do we calculate that? Even as psychics, if people ask us a question, we have to understand the space of time and the length of time and the exertion it will take to get their desired results. So I know that oftentimes in a reading, I'll try to visualize the space that one is in, and then how far it will be before they meet their destiny. And that depends
destiny on... Destiny being a loose definition,
yeah,
of what they're meeting, considering the definition of destiny.
Right.
According to karmic destiny versus true destiny.
Right.
We're talking more about creative destiny.
Creative destiny. But, you know, you have to... you're visualizing something that isn't there. You know, in jacks, you have the visual objects, and you have the ball, and you have your hand, and it's a matter of calculation and coordination. Calculation and coordination. When you look into the future, you apply calculation to some extent. That's why we have the birthday numbers. But how do we coordinate that when there's nothing really to look at, but just space? There's no object in front of us, like in Einstein's sailboat, or a prey and a predator. You're looking at nothing. And what you're doing is you're incorporating the visual eye into a construction of language. So your visual eye, your third eye, has to construct something physical manifesting into a language with precision when there's nothing there. But the object is, can you find the prediction before the ball bounces? While it's in midair. So it's very, metaphorically speaking, it's a visual, an actively psychic visual way of playing jacks. Because you've got your objects, or your questions, you've got your third eye, and then you're trying to calculate the date upon which something may happen and what's going to be in that person's hand before that ball bounces.
Right. So sometimes, too, those predictions, the timeline moves forward from the original point of prediction that a psychic makes. And that has a lot to do with the actions of the person the prediction is being made for. So there are things that can disrupt a prediction that is sound and accurate if the person is, you know, goes off course.
Yeah, right. The wind factor, the idea that we can sabotage, or there might be other factors of karma come in, or we create a new karma, or we procrastinate. I mean, it's very difficult. That's why, psychically speaking, you compartmentalize the
it's just locked in.
Or is there some element of mystery, Chris?
Chris, exactly, the mystery woman.
Catch caller talked about. She's a mystery woman. A mystery woman. Well, one thing he knows, that hopefully she's a woman, but who knows in this day and age who you're really talking to. But a mystery woman. You know, I was thinking about that, the Black Widow. What was that name of that movie with William Hurt? And he.
I have no idea. On the wrong subject.
It's about a whole mystery woman, but the Black. It was a really good movie.
Well,
and William Hurt was in it. And
Black.
It's something about.
Black Widow, yeah, you're right.
The Black Widow. What's it called?
Huh, are they remaking that?
I don't know.
Yeah, something's happening. Why Marvel Universe, Black Widow movie finds a second villain in a Marvel Universe veteran.
Oh, that's something else.
Yeah, but yeah. It's related
but
to
what
William Hurt in Black Widow.
Oh, okay. But then look at the other movies he's in. Because there was that's true. Okay, so the Widow, Black Widow.
We'll look up the other movies William Hurt is in?
Yeah.
Hold on.
The Kiss of the something.
I think I know.
The Kiss of the Spider-Woman.
Kiss of the Spider-Woman.
Kiss of the Spider-Woman. Okay, so there's another. That was a great mystery, too.
God, he has terrible numbers.
William Hurt?
Yeah, his birthday is like...
What
you
is
know,
it?
I always marvel at what there's a lot of...
He's Marvel, too.
No, yeah, exactly, Marvel comics. But I marvel at people, you know, it's... The birthday is so unique to each person. So someone can have bad numbers, but look, I mean, he's had great success in his life.
Well, what's his number? What's his birthday?
So he's got a strong five energy. So that plays into the acting, obviously. And anyway, 320-50. He's a 20 equals 2. His day is his karmic number, so there's some energy there. He's got that broken 5 and the 3-2, but the 5 is realized in his year, but he's got 2 zeros.
Yeah,
two.
But he's extraordinary. His karma is 15, very low.
Wait, 5? No, it's not.
Oh, wait a minute.
20.
15, 20. Yeah,
it's 20. 20. So he has he's got 3 zeros going on.
Oh, it's so low, pretty low
but
karma.
But it's a low karma, and his karmic number is his day of birth.
Right. But you see, the 3-2 becomes a 5, so he has a solid 5 on the other side.
Right.
So that's where his acting expression comes in.
That's
the 2 5s become a 10, which is actually in the century of 19. So there's a weird, strange energy of balance going on in terms of the fifth chakra, the expression chakra, and that is noteworthy.
Right.
What you'd want to do is know what he did at 20 years old.
I'm finding right now.
And what his personal life, what kind of difficulties he's had in relationships.
So, yeah, he's obviously going to have relationship problems. But he graduated in 1968 from...
18.
Yeah, when he was 18, and then attended Tufts University, studied theology, but turned to acting and joined the Juilliard School in 72. He was in school with Robin Williams and Christopher Reeve. Interesting. So there was something that happened in those 4 years. He graduated in 68, attended Tufts, and he must have been in the process of maybe deciding to change course.
Yeah, major things happened at 20.
And there had to be, but it's not, you know, it's not, unfortunately, giving any kind
life.
Of, that's where I'm going. There we go. We found it. He was married, probably got engaged in 70. He got married in 71.
Yeah.
So that's what it is.
And
he, terrible relationship problems. So he had a lawsuit with a common law wife, divorced his first wife after 9 years. Then he'd begun a relationship with this woman during the marriage. So there's his, all his relationship karma, which is the 20.
Well, there you go. Terrible relationship problems.
Dated Marley Matlin.
Strong expression.
God, interesting. And she said the relationship involved considerable. And she said the relationship involved considerable drug abuse and physical abuse by Hurt. Of course, you know, that's, you know, what I'm reading online. I don't want to cast this.
Well, it's you know, it does, it still casts a narrative that would coincide
with
our interpretation of numerology in a person's life. And of course, his acting, he's a very low-keyed actor. He doesn't go for the juggler sticking out of his neck. He's more low-keyed, and he's very good at playing the undercurrent of being sinister. But again, he's also was known for being, you know, a sort of low-key detective. And romance was in. He did a terribly romantic movie where he throws the chair through the glass and kisses the girl. It was one of the more famous detective movies. What was the name of that one?
Detective movie with William Hurt? I don't know. Because, like I said, this is not my...
It was very famous. I forget the name. But he wants to see the girl, but instead of opening up the door, of course, he throws the chair through the glass window, or the glass door, and then he starts making...
There's so many movies, actually, that he's done that I haven't seen that look really interesting.
Yeah, he's a good actor. What was the name of that? The one where he plays the detective?
I don't know.
Let me see. So, there...
Detective.
It was one of his more famous films.
Gorky Park?
No. That was a Russian...
Well, that's what
Russian,
came up when I
looked
for, I guess. I don't know.
So, let me see. So you know, when we talk about... the Kiss of the Spider Woman, of course. Body Heat. Body Heat was... a very passionate kind of detective film. How do we get onto him?
I don't know. I don't know.
Her.
You mentioned...
Oh, we mentioned the Mystery Woman. You're getting into the
Mystery Woman.
He stars in a lot of movies.
Is Broadcast
Mystery
News
Woman.
Good? That looks like something.
Yeah, Broadcast News, Albert
I'd
Brooks.
I'd like to see that. Oh, did I see that?
Albert Brooks was in it? No. But that was a big audience-pleasing movie.
I think
movie,
I would like that.
And I think it won a couple of awards.
And The Big Chill, I haven't seen. I mean, it's terrible.
The Big Chill is one of his first films.
Yeah.
But actually, he only played a dead body in that. He really didn't. I think he played the dead body
well,
in
he was
The
in
Big
Charles,
Chill. No, he didn't play the big... There was somebody who played just a dead body in Big Chill, and there was no... acting on the person's
actually,
part, but they were a famous actor who played it.
Gorky Park was released the same year, so those were his.
Yeah, that's Russian. That's
Eyewitness was his 1981. Anyway.
But
yeah,
I
know.
Mean, it's his birthday.
Park is in Russia.
But his name, William Hurt, we'd have to. He's not anything near Jack. I don't even know if he was in a movie with Jack Nicholson. Maybe it's in a movie with Jack Nicholas. It was a dolphin, but I don't know. But the concept of the third eye producing a vision to where you can calculate almost by way of physics, by the assortment of dimension and measurement of time and the bending of time and the calculation of possibilities, interpreting, calculating and interpreting the vision to the physicality of a date or the physicality of a result. And that is something that goes beyond the mere physicality of working with objects. But, you know, we do it all the time. Doctors do it. Oh, how much long do you think we'll be in surgery? Oh, we got about 20 minutes left.
Or, yeah, projecting.
Or they calculate a diagnosis.
Exactly, exactly.
Or even a prognosis. A diagnosis is going underneath and finding the facts. A prognosis is calculating something in terms of future.
As far as what's going to happen.
Doctors are very akin to psychics.
Well, some of them are. Some of them are, depending on the doctor.
Yeah. But
the best doctors are the ones who do have an intuitive sense of what's going on with their patients. Not all doctors do. They're more left-brained.
You know, it's funny. Even in terms of gardeners or groundkeeping people that do things like that, I watched once I had this guy, and he had to climb this big tree to get to the top to start to trim it. And he didn't talk much. I didn't really know much English. But he took about, eight steps back from the tree. It was a big tree. And he just stared at it. He just stared at it and stared at it and stared at it. Must have been there 3 minutes, just standing, staring at it. And I was looking at him and thought, okay, this guy's got my interest now. What is he doing? And upon staring at it for about 3 minutes, he leaped forward and maneuvered his way up the tree without a second thought. He saw exactly what he was going to have to do. He leaped forward and he climbed a tree that I thought was impossible. I mean, he disappeared in the branches and the leaves. I couldn't even see him anymore. So it's amazing how we look at space and time and make our calculations.
Right, according to, you know, the individual field of expertise.
Yeah.
Okay. So we are back on. When are we doing our radio shows next week? Wednesday, Friday again?
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's the regular time unless there's a change. Stay tuned to our Facebook pages to see if there are any updates there. But as it stands, we'll be back on the air on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks to our callers. Bye-bye.